You have a Bible tonight, you'll find our text again in two places, one in 2 Timothy and the other one tonight in Luke's Gospel, chapter number 10. We thank the Lord for the good singing tonight and the good reminder that Jesus loves us, for the Bible tells us so. We thank the Lord for that. We appreciate the good lunch today and appreciate the wonderful box that Jamie and her daughters fixed for us. We appreciate that so much from the bottom of our hearts. If I was to eat everything in that box, I would be dead before the week's out. But I'll try to share it with other people. I know many of you go to our site, but we do have a study website and a YouTube channel. It's probably over 300. Live stream videos on there. We do a live stream every week. We just started a new series on the love text in the Bible, O Love That Will Not Let Me Go. And we also have a Musing from the Motel. We have some blogs. We're going through the book of Matthew, a few verses each day. But if you're interested in any of that, we have some bookmarks with that address on it. We'd certainly love to put them in your hands if you're interested in it. 2 Timothy chapter 1. We began this morning looking at the times in the Bible where Jesus called Bible characters by their name twice. And I have found whenever my mom and dad would call my whole name, John Thomas Gillum, it was not to congratulate me on a job well done. And it is so in the scriptures as he calls their name twice. And so we've been looking at these under the title of the double name calls. With the verse in 2 Timothy 1:9, it says, "Who hath saved us?" It's in the past tense. Something's been done in the past, guaranteeing something in the future. "And called us." I'm extremely interested in the next four sermons. This call to a holy calling, sanctification. He took care of that in this call too. Not according to our words, not according to what you do, but according to his own purpose and grace. And here he tells us the where of this calling. He says it was given us in Christ Jesus. And also the when. When did he call this saving call, this holy call, this purpose of grace? When did all that happen? He says the timing was before the world began. So all these calls started in eternity past. They have been working their way down through the million galaxies of the universe, and they happen upon that very place that they need to be. This morning we looked at the call of Saul. Saul, it was a call unto salvation. I believe myself, you don't have to agree with me, you can be wrong if you like, but I believe that call was issued to Saul before the world began. Saul, Saul, that call has been coming down through the galaxies of time, and it landed right on the road to Damascus, knocked him off his high horse, blindsided him, lit his soul up, and saved his soul. I believe the same thing happened to me in 1968 on the back row of a Baptist church in Chesapeake, Virginia. But now we want to deal with this holy calling. Tonight we go to Luke's Gospel, chapter number 10, where another Bible character has her name mentioned twice. The Bible says, verse 38, "It came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village. A certain woman named Martha received him into her house. She had a sister called Mary. but you also sat at Jesus' feet, heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about with much serving, came to him and said, Lord, doest thou not care that my sister hath left me serve alone? Bid her that therefore that she help me. Jesus answered and said unto her, I don't think he said these two words to congratulate me. You're a good cook. No. Oh, you sure keep a good house. No. I don't think that's what the congratulations are going to be about. Martha, Martha, are careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. Mary have chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. I want to look at this tonight as a call to service. Martha, Martha. Paul told us in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 that the call of the servant is the only place the Lord gives true freedom. The question is, what is biblical service? For Martha, it was busy, 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 busy. For Mary, we would classify her as doing nothing but sitting around. I find as I have studied the Bible that biblical service is not doing something, but it's being somewhere. And it is the only place of real freedom. Not doing something, ooh, busy, busy, busy. But it's about being somewhere. As we begin to unpack this text tonight, I notice the barrenness of busyness. Being busy for the Lord can become very barren. I was thinking again today, I've been knowing preacher for 30 years. I know a lot about him. I learned something about him today at the lunch table that I never knew. He made the statement that he went to Berean College in Berean, Kentucky. I never knew that. I've heard my dad speak of Berean College in Berean, Kentucky before. But you know, my relationship with him is nothing, nothing like the relationship I have with the old gal that is sitting behind him to the left. I have had a very intimate relationship with her for 53 years. And I know it's not your problem, it may just be my problem. My relationship with Christ often is more like my relationship with your preacher than it is my relationship with my wife. It's just a busy relationship. It's not an intimate relationship. It is not a relationship that will leave a legacy. Notice in this text tonight the barrenness, busyness causes self-centeredness. He says in verse number 38, they sat at Martha's house. It's very clear that this is her. Now, her brother and sister lived with her. It's not our house. This is my house. I notice also in the text, when she confronts our Lord, she says in verse, I'm talking about busyness. No intimate relationship with Christ. just busy religiously creates self-centeredness. But Martha was cumbered about with much serving and came to him and said, Lord, doest thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. She becomes extremely self-centeredness. Her house. She is alone. She singled out herself. The focus is about me. It's a time of desperation. That's what busyness will do for you. It's all about you. I notice not only is there a barrenness that causes self-centeredness, there is a barrenness that causes seemingly cumbered. He says in the text that she was cumbered about with much serving. I was interested in that word cumber, the very interesting word. It means to draw away or be distracted from what is the most important. Well, she's busy. Don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with having a good cook around. There's no telling how many people this lady was going to serve that day. You know good and well all the disciples are coming. And if they got any wives, they're coming with them for a good meal. House is going to be full. She's busy. She spent her time working very hard. But the only legacy she's leaving is this. Man, she's a good cook. Boy, I tell you, he sure does supply for his family well. Boy, he sure has a good-looking garden. Boy, I tell you, his grass, those flower beds out front, they're pristine. That's the only legacy that she's leaving in her busyness, her barrenness. But I see also in the text, Martha has a beseeching that binds. Call service involves a conflict. He crosses Martha in verse 41. Martha, Martha. I don't know about you. We ought to cherish the times when God crosses us about the legacies we're leaving. Boy, he sure is a good cook. They sure do keep house well. Man, he always supplies well for his family. Call involves a conflict. If God is coming here tonight and he is crossing you, the area of your busyness that is not leaving any eternal legacy for your children or grandchildren, if you're hearing him call your name twice, that call has originated in eternity past, and it is landed right here tonight. I would give him a good hearing. You listening to me? Call involved a conflict. I noticed that the call involved a correction. He told her in verse 41, he says, thou art careful about many things, anxious and worried, distracted by the circumstances, distracted by things that are not important. I read an article recently. I didn't know if you know it or not. I thought I'd tell you. Did you know that 95% of everything you worry about will never happen? Why? Gracious. You could get rid of everything but 5% of what you're worried about tonight. It'd give you a lot of time. on your hands. It ain't ever going to happen. About many things, he said. Isn't that what gets us off center things? I love what Jesus said about that. Seek ye first. Oh, in order to seek him first, it is not about doing something. It's about a place where you're at. Seek the kingdom of God first and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. He told us over in Matthew 6, be anxious for nothing. Jesus said, be anxious for nothing, Martha. Martha's doing a noble service. She keeps a well home. She's a good cook. But that's all the legacy she's leaving. No eternal steps for anybody to follow. I don't know about you. I do a lot of the cooking at the house. God have mercy on my soul. If when I die, the only thing my grandchildren say about me is, Bobo's a good cook. Are you listening to me tonight? That's all that could be said about Martha. It's the only legacy she left. But could I look at Mary's legacy tonight? And not the barrenness of busyness, but the bounty from bowing. Notice the place of her bowing. The Bible tells us at verse 39 that she sat at Jesus' feet. It's a place of humility. He calls it, this one thing is needful. Martha missed it. She's busy. She's leaving a legacy. They'll say she was a good cook. They'll say about you, boy, he supplied for his family well. He made plenty of money so they could live well. That's all he left. Leaving eternal steps. There was never an answer to a call for true service. Not about doing something, but about somewhere you are. She sat at Jesus' feet. You say, what in the world would I want to sit around at his feet for? He said, not me, that he resisteth the proud, but he giveth grace. Little word there is a dam break of grace to those that humble themselves. I noticed the purpose of the bowing. Says in verse number 39 that she sat to settle down, to get near as possible. It seems to be a present encounter. What in the world is Mary doing? I was just sitting around. That's what us busy folks would say. Those that supply well for their home, make plenty of money so they can live well. What is she doing? Well, she is sitting around at Jesus' feet. Said that she sat at his feet. This little word set means to dwell in a continued fixed position. What in the world is she doing? She said she hears his word. The little word heard means to listen because one has ears to hear, understand, and obey. Wow. The reason why she's listening is because God has given her ears to hear. She's studying him. She's hearing him with understanding. She is literally becoming very intimate with him. She's studying him. She's wanting to know more about him. And he said, this is the one thing that is needful if you want to leave an eternal legacy, that someone would follow behind you. I was interested not only in the place of the bowing, the purpose, but the provision of the bowing. In Luke chapter 10, Martha is questioning Jesus. Tell her to help me. Did you see she's left me by myself in this kitchen? John chapter 11, when her brother dies, she's questioning Jesus. If you'd have been here, he wouldn't have died. In John chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, she's quiet. She ain't questioning him no more. But she's still cooking. Busy, busy, busy. Her brother Lazarus, he done got crazy. He got raised from the dead. You know where he's at? He's at the table talking to Jesus. I'm talking about a provision of her bowing, leaving a legacy. The only thing that would be left of Martha, well, she's, boy, that girl could cook. Kept good house. Maybe the only thing be said about you men tonight, boy, they supply well for their family. Boy, their family had the best of clothes, had a good roof over the head. Boy, I'll tell you, that garden he had was just beyond reproach. That was a beautiful garden. Grass, that flower bed, that prestige. Won't leave no eternal steps for your children and grandchildren to walk in. Mary is a different story. Luke chapter 10 here, we find her bowing, hearing his word. John chapter 11, when he comes to see where they've laid her brother, she comes and says the exact same thing that Martha said. If you'd have not been here, my brother wouldn't have died. But she says it bowed at his feet. When Martha said it, no response from him. The only thing he asked her was, this is awful deep, I don't even know if you can get it, not maybe way over your head. Where's your sister? He didn't come to eat. He didn't come to look at the house. And when she got at his feet and said the exact same thing that Martha said, if you hadn't been here, he hadn't died. You know what his response to that was? Where'd you lay him? And he began to cry. Talking about a legacy. And in John chapter 12, after the resurrection of her brother, she busts an alabaster box about a year's wages and pours it over the top of him. And in Matthew chapter 26, Jesus makes a statement. He says, wherever the gospel is preached until I come, he says, sometime or another, gospel preacher mentioned Mary. She made a lasting impression upon me. She left a legacy. Some years ago, I was given a book. I was fascinated by its title. I was even more fascinated to read it. It was by a lady by the name of Joanne Weaver. The name of the book was Having a Mary, M-A-R-Y. A Mary Heart in a Martha World. But I never could get past the dedication on the first page. She dedicated it to her mama. And she made this statement in the dedication. Thank you, Mama, for making the path to Jesus' feet so clear, I couldn't help but follow it. I wonder if the legacy you're leaving tonight, there has been a holy calling upon you to leave an eternal legacy, that it would be extremely difficult for your children and grandchildren not to follow those footsteps. Songwriter said it best when he said, "Sitting at the feet of Jesus, oh, what words I hear him say. Happy place, so near, so precious, may it find me there each day. Sitting at the feet of Jesus, I would look upon the past, for his love has been so gracious, it has won my heart at last. Bless me, O my Savior, bless me as I sit low at thy feet. Oh, look down in love upon me, let me see thy face so sweet. Give me, Lord, the mind of Jesus, make me holy as he is. May I prove I've been with Jesus, who is all my righteousness." We are living in a moth world. It does demand that we be busy. There is nothing at all except yourself that would keep you from having a merry heart. And even in the middle of your cooking, your busyness, supplying for your family well, seeking to get as close to him as you possibly can get. Because you will find when it is all said and done, it was the most important of all the things. If you find yourself tonight being like a moth, leaving no legacy tonight, could I close with this deep and profound statement? Martha, Martha, take a look at Mary, preacher. Oh, wow.